Would you help me to please receive to the stage Samuel God's Jewel Rodriguez? Big Daddy. Big Daddy.
You may be seated. Oh, wow, airports. Wow. I'm honored and blessed to be with you today. I'm gonna expedite the process here a bit here. I was telling Don that we're gonna hurry this up a little bit just to be respectful of your time. But I'm honored to be with you, and I don't take it lightly. And like, you could say things for the sake of engaging in some sort of mutual affirmation society here, but I'm going to share with you with impeccable integrity and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I brag about our pastor's fellowship. When I travel around the nation or around the world, they ask me, so how is it in Sacramento? And they ask questions that are the usual questions, right? Well, is the church as fragmented in Sacramento as it is everywhere else? And then I'm like that guy that wants to irritate the conversation. So I come back and say, we have an awkward thing going on in Sacramento. And they mean like, what, is it really divided and fragmented in multiple pieces? And I go like, yeah, like no, like the opposite, dude. Like we gather and like we love each other and like we affirm each other. And I pastor in a region with the greatest pastors on the planet. And it's a crazy thing. Like it's a Holy Spirit thing. It's a John 17:21 thing. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And so the honor that I have in sharing with you here is overwhelming. It really is. Because I do believe that I happen to have the privilege, my wife and I, of pastoring in the city, and we're surrounded with the best pastors on the planet. So give it up for Jesus for somehow bringing us all together. It's true. I could even tell you stories. On a couple of occasions when Scotty Hagen was around in town, and Banning began Jesus culture and that sort of thing. I told people that were coming to my church that if you ever get stuck in traffic, make sure you go to Scotty's church. Don't go to Banning's because you'll never come back to my church. But if that sort of thing. But I actually mentioned pastors by name. I would mention Rick Hull by name. And I would say, we have the best pastors on the planet. And if you ever think this is not the thing for you, the latte for you, if you like more caramel macchiato and less matcha green tea, let me recommend some. And I mentioned out loud pastors from this region. And that's just kingdom, man. It's just the beauty of us being one in Jesus' name. Don and Krista, I love you. I respect you. I honor you. I appreciate you. Give it up one more time for Don and Krista. And then my wife of 29 years, September, we celebrate 30 years together. This is my wife. The thing is, in Sacramento, I was traveling around the country for so many years with the NHCLC, the Hispanic organization. And my wife was the pastor here. And if you have issues with women pastoring, you might want to delete the next minute and a half here. So she was pastoring Assembly God Church Planner here in the region. And so that's my wife, Eva. She's of Puerto Rican descent. She met me when I was 11 years of age in the city of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. She was there when I was 14. She's a little bit older than I. I'm not going to go into the joke. I did not say that you were much older. I said you were a little bit older than I. I'm being respectful. My goodness, man. Hashtag something right now, but it's just... But she's a little bit older than I, and she was there in the Assembly of God Church in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, in Allentown, Pennsylvania. I'm from Bethlehem, but we had a church in Allentown. When there is a word of the Lord that took place in that church, and that word is coming to pass now. So help me recognize, she's from Puerto Rico, and I want to say this publicly, and I want you to record this, whatever it takes. Jennifer Lopez has nothing on that woman right there. Yeah. Have you ever missed your turn? Have you ever in life missed your turn? Have you ever missed your turn? Have you ever, metaphorically speaking, missed your turn? Have you missed more than one turn? If you've ever missed your turn in life where you can look back and go, I missed it. That was my turn and I was distracted or occupied of other things and I missed it. If you've been there, raise one hand. If you've missed a couple of major turns, and you can look back and go, I missed it. Oh, boy, did I ever miss it? Raise both hands. If you've missed so many turns, then if I right now just go Siri and mention your name, Siri will automatically respond, rerouting. Samuel Rodriguez has missed a number of turns. The second question I have for you is, have you ever been paralyzed? Even for a minute, for a moment. Have you ever received news, a text, a call that paralyzed you? Have you ever been through anything, be it self-inflicted or externally driven, that paralyzed you? Have you been paralyzed? And if you tell me, Sam, I've never been paralyzed in my life, not even for a second. Please, after the service, I want you to, after this gathering, I want you to come up here because I want to worship you. Because every single human being, at least for one moment, we've all experienced paralysis. So in John chapter 5, there's a story of Jesus encountering a man who was paralyzed for 38 years. He's next to the pool of Bethesda. And Dr. Garza, one of my dearest friends on the planet, recently went to Israel. Just when was it? Last month? Last month? And he went to this. Did you go to this pool? Which is, so we spoke about this yesterday at church a bit, and he expanded a bit of what he saw. And this man was next to a pool. You all know the story. You're pastors and ministers. On occasion, John chapter 5, verse 4, an angel of the Lord would come down, stir up the waters. And the first person to step into the water, when the water would be troubled, stirred up, bubbled up, another version, New Living Translation, the first person to step in would receive their healing, their breakthrough. This man, paralyzed for 38 years, in verse 7 of John chapter 5, states explicitly, every single time I think it's my turn, I get so close, I miss it. And he says, and he explains why. I'm dependent on other people, he says. Every single time I think it's my turn, there's never someone around, he's paralyzed, to pick me up and place me in the water. As a result, I always miss my turn. He's dependent on other people. So what am I sharing with you? I'm going to tell you what the Holy Spirit placed in my heart for you, and I'm going to try to expedite the process here. I will. I want to speak to you on the subject matter, and it sounds a little bit edgy, but what if you are next? Jesus came along. This man missed his turn on so many occasions. Jesus comes around. There's an authentic encounter with Jesus, and Jesus makes this man next. What if you are next? What if you are next to see an amazing harvest in your church? What if you are next to see your prayers answered? What if you are next to see families saved on a Sunday morning, an entire family, families come to Christ as Lord and Savior? What if you are next for a legitimate, authentic revival and awakening? What if you are next? What if you are next? It begins with understanding paralysis. We live in a paralyzed world. And if you don't think the world is paralyzed, you turn on CNN, MSNBC, ABC, Fox News, Univision, y Telemundo. And that's the only way to say Telemundo. Can't say it any other way. Telemundo. Turn on the news, our nation and the world, for that matter, is paralyzed. I'm going to tell you what we're paralyzed by right now. On a macro level, we're paralyzed by definitions, dependency, and discord. Definitions, nomenclatures, and descriptors. It's identity. We're paralyzed by definitions. So we're paralyzed. So many definitions. There is even this variable, this fluid notion of definition as it pertains to absolutely everything. There are no absolutes. Anything can define us internally or externally, and we can even self-define ourselves now. So I want to remind you, as it pertains to paralysis by definition, you are not defined by what surrounds you. You're defined by God's Spirit inside of you. You're not defined by your circumstance. You're defined by His covenant. You're not defined by the hell you're going through. You're defined by the heaven you're going to. You're not defined by your failures. You're defined by His forgiveness. For all of my Facebook, Twitter, Instagram brothers and sisters, listen carefully. You are not defined by the like. You are not defined by the likes of many. You are defined by the love of one. And for all the religious folk, you're not even defined by what you do for God. You're defined by what God already did for you. You're defined by the Father, the Son, and the Espíritu Santo. You're defined by Galatians 2:20, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. We are paralyzed, not only by definitions, we need to know who we are in Christ. We are paralyzed by dependency, not my words, His words, verse 7, John 5. I depend on other people. I always miss my turn. I'm dependent on others. When we depend on others more than we depend on God, perpetual paralysis will define us. And we depend on others for joy, for peace. We depend on others for a constant affirmation and validation. We depend on others to see the destiny that God has ordained for each of our corresponding lives to come to pass. This utter dependency on external forces. Of course, we love people and we need people in our lives. But when we place our complete dependency on other people, we miss the mark. Psalm 62 verse 5 says, I depend on God alone. We need to depend on God. Even collectively speaking, not only on others, as a nation, we're looking for government to solve all the issues. We want to solve the issues via the conduit of Uncle Sam. There's an issue that requires prophetic activism and not political advocacy. There are issues that require the church to stand up. We want Uncle Sam to solve it. We are obsessed with Uncle Sam solving every single issue. We believe government is God. Government is not God. Uncle Sam is just an uncle, but he will never be our Heavenly Father. We need to remember that. And we're paralyzed by discord. What does that mean? Today, the church, and I travel around the country, and by the grace of God, I'm able to participate in conversations. I'm obsessed with John 17, 21. I'm obsessed with unity of the church. I am convinced and convicted that a divided church can never heal a broken nation, but a united church can change the world. So it requires us to come together. And we are paralyzed. I'm talking to the church now. We're paralyzed by discord. This may be the last time I ever speak here. That's fine. That's good. I've reached a place in life que ya olvídate. La sangre de Cristo me limpia. Vamos corriendo para acá, vamos. So let me give it to you. This may be the last time. We're permitting the church. We're permitting the church. I'm talking about America now. We're permitting the donkey and the elephant to divide what the lamb died on the cross for. We permit donkeys and elephants to divide the church. Man, I don't ever want to be controlled by a donkey or an elephant. The donkey never died for me, and an elephant never resurrected for me. But the lamb that is the lion of the tribe of Judah paid the price on the cross and resurrected. And when we permit what happens in the White House or in Congress to divide us, we are drinking the proverbial Kool-Aid. We have to push back in the name of Jesus. When we come together, we can change the world. We can shift the atmosphere. Psalm 89, 14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne, and love and truth lead the way. The moment we come together and repudiate every vestige of discord, not only will we change Sacramento, we'll change California, we'll change America in the name of Jesus. I'm convinced of that. Paralysis. So we are paralyzed. This man was paralyzed 38 years, 18 years. That's a Kanye song. Sorry, I'm tired. 38 years. And all of a sudden it happens. Jesus comes up, 38 years paralyzed. Jesus looks at the man and says, so do you want to get well? Another version would read, do you want to be healed? 38 years. I want you to hear this. This is crazy. Do your biblical due diligence, please. The man, his response is just incoherent. It makes zero grammatical sense. Here's the question. Do you want to get well? Do you want to be healed by me? Do you want this? The man says, I can't. If I ask you if you want a latte right now, the answer is either yes or no. The man, this is an SAT question. And it's a simple question. He wrote an essay, and it wasn't an essay question. Do you want to be healed? I can't. Never ask you if you could. If you could, you wouldn't be there in the first place. This man was not just paralyzed physically, he was paralyzed spiritually, morally. He was paralyzed completely. He said, I can't. And it's narcissism. It's egocentrism on steroids. It's pride. You say you can't. It's not about, let me speak to you parenthetically. It's not about your ability, sunshine. It's about my anointing. It's not about your gift. It's about my grace. It's not about your potential. It's about my power. The moment we get over ourselves, and we understand it's about God's will, God's purpose, God's destiny. So Jesus looks at him, bypasses the foolishness that came out of his mouth. Jesus could have dropped the mic like Jay-Z, walked away, and said, hey, man, you're not getting this. I'm out of here. But he didn't. He stuck around, looks at the man and says, stand up. He tells him to stand up, even though the man just said he couldn't. He told him to stand up. Now, I need all you pastors to do your Greek exeget, please. You want to do the Aramaic, do the Passion Translation. But do your exeget on the passage. When Jesus said, stand up, it is the same phrase that appears in Joshua when the angel of the Lord said, stand up. Let me explain. It wasn't a recommendation. Jesus wasn't recommending for the man to stand up. He wasn't even saying, if you find it within yourself, stand up. Jesus wasn't saying, if you're inclined to the possibility of standing up, please stand up. Jesus never even said, pretty please, with sugar on top. There was nothing of, hey, if it's within yourself, I don't want to occupy your space. I want to give you some room to this whole free will component. So let me invite you graciously to stand up. Nothing of the sort. Jesus commanded him to stand up. Let me put that in theological perspective. The man didn't have a choice. I know that's counter to some of what you may. The man had zero choice. He just said, I can't. And yet he stood up. Sometimes God will bypass your drama to speak into your destiny. We want God to focus on the drama, but rather he would speak to our destiny. Have you ever been in a place where you were so broken, where you were so paralyzed, where you were so jacked up? That's a sacramental term for jacked up. Where you were so messed up and discombobulated that you wanted God to focus on the drama, but instead God showed up and said, instead of focusing on the drama, I'm going to focus on my destiny for your life, on my purpose for your life. I'm going to speak to that which is inside of you that's greater than that which is outside of you. So he told him to stand up. The words of Jesus, stand up. The body, everything, he spoke to his destiny beyond the drama. He stood up. My wife, we purchased about a year ago, was it? Or somebody gave us a gift. Alexa Echo, the Echo. Is that about a year ago? Somebody gave us a gift. One of the speaking engagements, I think it was Planet Shakers or something. Somebody gave me an Alexa Echo, right? So I came home with Alexa Echo, and it was like, well, it was more than a year. It was the first time a couple years ago when it was first coming out. So I connected it Saturday night, the whole Alexa Echo, you know, that. Sunday morning, I go to church here in our new season church. Right? So I take off, and she followed in after me, but not in the same vehicle because she came to the second service. So the night before, I set up Alexa Echo. I get this call. I'm on my way to church. I'm about to preach, and I have the sermon on my Bluetooth, so I'm listening to the sermon, memorizing the sermon. So I'm en route. I get this call from my wife on Sunday morning, which is a rare thing because she usually meets me at church. And she tells me, this is her call. How do you turn this thing off? I go, what are you talking about? She goes, this, you're Alexa. First of all, I'm a husband of one, father of three. There is no Alexa, but you know, you're Alexa. She goes, you're Alexa thing. And I go, what do you mean? She goes, I've tried everything. I even saw what you did, and I that Alexa thing. I went to Alexa, and I said what you'd said, and it continues to ring, rings. So I put the alarm on for Alexa, and it continued to just, you know, be noisy. Now, so she, what do I do? I don't want to mess it up and, you know, unplug it, because then the whole thing, what do I do? I even told it, Alexa, turn off, wouldn't. Alexa, shut off, nope. Alexa, stop it, wouldn't work. I even went in Spanish, Alexa, cállate, nothing would happen. So, and I went like, aha. I go, honey, there's an issue. Are you going to have to leave it on and let it harass you when I get home? I'll disable it. And she went, but why isn't it working? I went, because the way that I programmed Alexa, the only voice that Alexa will respond to is my voice. Alexa will not respond to any other voice but my voice. If Alexa knows to respond to only authorized voices, why do we respond to voices that are not authorized to speak into our lives? You need to do away with distraction and voices that are not speaking to your prophetic purpose. You need to say, you're not authorized to speak into my destiny. Matter of fact, you even have to say, you're not authorized to speak into my church, my family, to God's will for my life. Christ is authorized to speak into my life. Told him to stand up. He told him to stand up. Stand up. Ezekiel 2:1 says, stand up, and God will speak to you. Ezekiel 2:1. Acts 2:14, and Peter stood up, and God spoke through him. When we stand up, it's a metaphor for us taking a different posture, not one of complacency or acquiescence, but one of conviction and courage. What if the Holy Spirit is telling us as pastors in the Sacramento region right now to stand up? To stand up. Not to acquiesce, not to surrender truth on the altar of political, cultural, or sexual expediency, but to stand up. To stand up with love and truth. The reason I say love first, because Psalm 89:14, that's the pecking order. Speak truth with love. You got to begin with love and then share the truth. If all we do is love, we're just a bunch of hippies. It's love and truth, baby. We have to speak truth with love. What if we can stand up right now and come against every vestige of darkness in the name of Jesus, and look at every broken life, family, neighborhood, and say there's only one way. Stand up. Stand up. Yes, stand up with the certainty, with the centrality of Christ. Stand up with a commitment, an unbridled commitment to biblical orthodoxy, that Christ is the only way, John 14:6, the only way. There is no other way to be saved but Jesus. He is the only way. What if we finally, collectively, stand up? And I'm about to land here. So he stood up. Stood up! And then Jesus, he could have walked away, but he didn't. Looked at the man and said, well, pick up your mat. You're not done yet. Pick up your mat. Why did he pick up his mat? If he would have left that mat behind, there would have been a sense of expectation that one day he would go back to that place. When you pick up your mat, you're telling both heaven and hell. You're telling your friends and your haters. And more importantly, you're telling yourself you don't live there anymore. I need you to pick up your mat today. But I am believing right now, and I know it's a gathering of pastors and ministers. I am believing in Jesus' name. And it's edgy. It may be uncomfortable for some. But I am believing that in Jesus' name, paralysis comes to an end right here, right now. I am believing that your faith and your family and your future, that your shalom, your peace, your joy will never be paralyzed again. I am believing the Holy Spirit is speaking to each and every one of us, telling us as paralysis is over, stand up with truth and love. Pick up your mat. You need to tell yourself and tell the world you don't live there anymore. You don't live in anxiety, in fear. You don't live in failure, in defeat. You don't live there anymore. You don't live there anymore. You don't live in what you went through anymore. Pick up your mat. And then he tells him, start walking. I love this part. Start walking. So he's walking with a mat and he starts to walk. Start walking. Start walking. Sacramento Airport. Philip Godot Jr. just alluded to the fact that we encounter ourselves at Sacramento Airport. Sacramento Airport. If you've been to Terminal A and B recently, raise one hand. Sacramento Airport. Have you noticed a change? Leaving the airport, you have to go, leaving the airport to baggage claim, you have to go through doors. How many have noticed the new doors? The doors that say, don't stop, keep walking. Have you been there? So I travel frequently, as you heard, and I laugh at the rookies. The rookies that never travel stop because the door is closed, not knowing that the thing that opens the door is their walk. I need you to take that and apply it. Start walking. Walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Walk led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Galatians 5:16. You're waiting for doors to open and the doors are waiting for you to continue walking. It is your walk. It is your presence. Better yet, it's the presence of Christ in you and through you that will prompt the doors to open up in your favor so you can preach the gospel of Jesus. Start walking. Start walking. Start walking. Start walking. Start walking. Some years back, we received a call from a network whose name you would recognize, a secular television network that was interested in doing a television reality show on our family. We went through the rigorous process of making sure our family would not be exploited and that sort of thing. So, because we saw other Christians that participated in television programs, we weren't too happy. We didn't want to be that. So we went through a rigorous program. They were production. They were interviewing our kids. I mean, it became a big thing. We were about to sign. All of a sudden, there was an indirect reference that I would have to tone down my whole obsession with Jesus. So help me God. So the commentary was, we like you. You have an eclectic following, but you're so obsessed with everywhere you go, you mention Jesus. You like to mention Jesus. If you're on Fox or CNN or wherever you're at, you always lift up, you mention Jesus. And we like the fact that you're a person of faith and you're a pastor, but we would rather have you not focus on Jesus. So guess what? Yeah, that never happened. Meaning the contract never happened. And I'm thinking, what's going on? See, the problem is that we received a viable, biblically substantiated, Christ-centered, valid word. There's a fine line between the prophetic and the pathetic. We received a word that was legitimate from someone who's very legitimate in the kingdom, across the board, who looked at us. There's someone here who actually witnessed it, who looked at us, you're back there, who looked at us and said in 2000, I forget when it was, years ago, Sam, Hollywood. I have nothing to do. I couldn't even spell Hollywood. Hollywood, this is years ago. So I thought that contract was it. Collapse, didn't happen. So all I knew is I used to be paralyzed. I listened to Jesus. I stood up, I picked up my mat. Keep walking. Even if the doors are closed, keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking. The doors closed do not determine your walker speed. Just keep walking. They're going to open up the moment you just keep walking. Then I read a story about a young boy who died and resurrected when his mom prayed, "Jesus, send your Holy Spirit." And I read that story. When I read the story and I started preaching about it in my church, and then I did it on my television program on TBN, I get a call from a mother who says, "Pastor Sam, I'm one of your fans, I'm followers, and I saw you talking about my story. That's me." And I went, "Good." She went, "Well, respectfully, sir, you're shortchanging me." And I went, "What do you mean? He wasn't dead for 15 minutes. He was dead for an hour." If you want to hear the full story, she DM'd me on Facebook. Give me a call. I gave her a call. The moment she spoke to me, the Holy Spirit told me, "You're going to make that into a movie. Your Hollywood word will come to pass because you kept walking. And you never sacrificed truth and never stopped mentioning that Jesus is the only way." Long story short, in theaters in America right now, there is a movie called Breakthrough. I'm not doing an advertisement because God already blessed the movie and it did what it did. It reached number two behind a superhero movie for a faith film where the main 20th Century Fox did a film where the main character is the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. I want you to put that in perspective. But the story here is that we kept walking. So let me encourage you right now in the name of Jesus, keep walking. Let this be the day paralysis comes to an end. Hear the voice of the Holy Spirit tell you that you are next. Stand up beyond yourself. Stand up in spite of yourself. Sometimes God will tell you to stand up, not even for your cause, but for the cause of your children and your children's children. Stand up, pick up your mat, start walking, change the world. It takes conviction to speak truth. It takes faith to move mountains. It takes holiness to see God. It takes love to change the world. So stand up, pick up your mat, start walking, and let's do one thing together in the name of Jesus. Let's go change the world. God bless you and God keep you. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam. Hey, can we just have, I just want you to have you pray over us. Just release that on our city. I just don't want to miss a moment. So if you would pray.
Let's pray. If you can just symbolically, but what it means prophetically, I say that in the appropriate application of that term. Join hands with your neighbors, please. Heavenly Father, we come together as a recipient, as the beneficiary of the grace-filled, vicarious, atoning work of Jesus, of your mercy, your grace, and your love. I come before the most amazing gathering of people that I look up to, pastors and ministers in this blessed region of Sacramento, Northern California. Lord, with great due deference, with appreciation, honor, I ask you right now to address every single vestige of paralysis.
Yes, yes,
Lord. Lord, sometimes life surprises the living daylight out of us and paralyzes us.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that every vestige of paralysis comes to an end right here, right now. As pastors and ministers, sometimes we're paralyzed, not just with what happens in church, but some of the most significant paralysis takes place with things that happens within the confines of our families. Oh Lord, right now, address every vestige of paralysis.
Yes, yes,
Holy Spirit, I ask
yes,
you
Lord.
To strengthen yes. every heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit.
Yes,
to speak to every person in this room and tell them now,
yes.
stand up. Stand up. Your days of paralysis come to an end right here, right now. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. What God has placed inside of you is greater than anything that surrounds you. Stand up. Stand up and speak truth. Stand up and live out your God-ordained purpose. Stand up and tell the world that Jesus is the only way. Pick up your mat. Pick up your mat. Tell the world and tell yourself you don't live there anymore. Pick up your mat and start walking.
Yes.
Walk, my friend. Walk, my friend. Walk by faith and not by sight. Walk believing God for all of his promise to 2 Corinthians 1:20. Walk with Christ as the center of it all. Walk, walk. In the name of Jesus, we pray and come in agreement and believe it is done by faith through Christ. Amen,
amen.
And amen.
Thank you. Bless you, buddy.